I think the height of COVID, it was so much of a focus on like altering the face and getting mm-hmm. big lips and snatching our jawlines and doing all of these things. And I see it, and I when I post things about like how I want to not post filtered photos and how to tell patients no, I get such a good response from injectors. I have no idea who they are, or I've never met them.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't know who they are. It's just I've never met them in real life, and they're like, I have felt this inner turmoil. It's so nice to see that other people are telling patients no, because mm-hmm. it's also a money thing.
She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
I couldn't imagine, honestly, anybody else who I've ever met in my life being as helpful as Tracy's been towards me and the rest of my family.
Whatever problem you've got, however dark it may be, there is no judgment, there is no finger pointing, there is only healing.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are creating change in the world, to call parents to action in raising healthy, whole young adults, and to counteract the current cultural narrative that is giving you permission and at times encouraging you to live an immoral and mediocre life. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you to action in your own life. A few years ago, a friend of mine said to me, "Hey T, you're the stone that's thrown in the water, and the clients that you work with and the people that hear you speak are the ripple effect that go out and create change in the world." That's what I'm doing. I'm calling you to action and calling you to create your own ripple effect of change.
Hello and welcome back to the TLM Method Podcast. This is an exciting episode for me. My name is Tracy. I'm your host, as we know right now. A couple things came up in a conversation with this epic human being here when I was with her, and I decided, let's just make it into a podcast, because as we know, conversations are important to have, even ones that might be a little bit uncomfortable. So Hannah is a family nurse practitioner. She's a local injector here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we thought this was a really important conversation to have. And so she and I were in the office the other day, and she takes care of some stuff for me, and I wanted to dive into this. So I'm going to introduce you to Hannah, and I will let her tell a little bit about her story, who she is, what her background is, and then we're going to jump into some really important topics. So Hannah, the mic is yours.
Okay. I'm Hannah. I'm a local injector. Yes, I am a nurse practitioner. I have been in healthcare since I was 18 years old. So, oh my God, 10, 12, 14 years now. So I've been, I started in the hospital, working in a hospital in Kansas. I'm from Kansas. And my career has just progressed. Went back to school, became a family nurse practitioner, saw a lot of chronic disease and a lot of anxiety and depression when I worked in family practice. Then we moved to Scottsdale, and now do the best thing you can do in Scottsdale, which is injectables.
Yes, absolutely. I know. I was talking to my assistant, and she's like, "I'm from Arkansas. We don't even know what that is. We don't know what this is."
I look kind of funny when I go home. My skin is too clear.
No, it's good. It's good. So a couple things. With the coaching that I do, I see a lot of young women. And as we know, this is kind of a topic for a lot of young girls. Body image, body dysmorphia, true beauty, inner beauty. And how we have that conversation around that particular topic in the world. Because let's face it, we do focus a lot on the outside, you know, and it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong or indifferent. It just seems to be our culture right now. I mean, you look back at, before we decided to do this, I looked back at images, you know, of women like in Marilyn Monroe's age and those kinds of things. And it's like there was such natural beauty. Mm-hmm. And even though I know Hollywood kind of has like a, they have like a different standard of beauty, I don't think they were doing anything back then either that we weren't doing,
no,
you know? So I think that it kind of came about before then. So tell me what you perceive that the world of aesthetics, how would you define that?
Well, in a perfect world, I think it's just an industry that it's kind of helping us with the tiny little insecurities that we may have. I don't think anything poorly of what aesthetics is supposed to mean. I think poorly of what it's become. So I think it's really just meant there as a little added, oh, I don't want a wrinkle. Like that's, right. It's not supposed to be something though that we're completely changing what you look like and who you are. So I think in a perfect world, it is just something nice. It's an added bonus. It's a privilege that we get to have.
Yeah. And I think too, the message of aesthetics from my perspective as on the other side of the spectrum of, you know, I chose to take care of my skincare with my food, my nutrition, my skincare regimen in and of itself. And I don't think I did any, I do have lips done. I don't think I did anything until I was, 50. You know, I was just like, I'm not going to do anything right now because I just feel like it's, you want to be refreshed and look good at any age, you know? And I think that's what I see.
I didn't do it well. I didn't wait till I was 50, but I didn't do anything and put anything in my face until I was 27 after I'd had my first round of children. And at first I started with a little bit of Botox. That's why my eyebrows are as high as they are now. And then I've done filler here and there just being in the industry. But something I try not to do is to overfill my face because I've had so many patients come in and they say, oh, you look normal. This is nice. And that's like, I get that comment 5 times a week. Like, oh, because I get a lot of new patients and it's, oh, wow, you look normal. And I want to stay looking normal. I just, exactly like you said, I feel like I'm a fresher, shinier version of who I was at 25.
Right.
And that, I just want to age gracefully. That's literally my only goal. I know I'm going to age.
Yeah.
I'm 32 God years willing. Old. Yeah. Thank God. I hope I can live to have wrinkles that are set in and show how much fun I've had in my life. Mm-hmm. But my goal too is just to refresh my skin. I just want to walk out and not put any makeup on and I'm comfortable.
Well, and I think look in the mirror and go, okay, yeah, that's me, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's, yeah, that's me. That's, you know, and like I said, God willing, I mean, aging is a privilege that's denied to many. Mm-hmm. And I always look forward to every birthday. I know a lot of women don't, and it makes me sad. And I think the younger generation doesn't see the beauty in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you tell a young girl? So this conversation came about by Hannah and I were speaking about, she had posted something on wanting to do, she needed a model. And so one of the DMs came in and it was basically like, hey, I need a model to do some stuff with. What do you think? And this is what it was. And then so you got some DMs on it. And how did you handle that?
I was needing a model for certain areas of the face to get injected. And you get your typical, you know, my patients who we've had, our patients that we've had before, and it's like, nope, we just did you. We can't do you. We can't fill your face. It's been too soon. But I got so many messages from girls who are 22, 23, 24, who are lovely, and I appreciate them even trusting this random lady to send their photos to.
Right.
But they send me photos, and I just look at them, and I think, you're gorgeous. Like, yes, could your chin be a little longer? If you really wanted to, but then it's going to change how adorable you are at this 22, 23, 24 year old mark. And not to like go off subject, but what you said about aging, like I've worked in the hospital. I've taken care of people who are dying. Like I know how much harder life can be and how rough it can be on people. Mm-hmm. And when I see young people who are even considering changing their face when they have a baby face to begin with, they have beautiful young skin and they don't have any wrinkles yet and they're still a little chubby, like that's mm-hmm. chubbiness is beautiful. You're gonna wish you had that chubbiness when you're in your 30s and older. So I got so many young girls saying, well, what you can do, whatever, like what do you want to do, like you can do whatever. And my response was number one, heck yes, like I can make this look really good in a picture because I don't really have to do anything, they're already pretty. Or just tell them how pretty they are and tell them it's literally too soon. There's nothing to change or to enhance because if we change or enhance them, they're not going to look naturally beautiful anymore. And so I said that to a lot of girls.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of thank yous.
Which, to me, that's what really hit me was the fact that I think that we don't hear. I mean, our brain is wired to hear the negative.
Yes.
So, like, you can tell, there can be a young girl that 100 people can say you're beautiful, and you hear one person that goes, yeah, well, that's not, and that's all you hear, mm-hmm. and you fixate on that.
Well, it's almost societal. Like, I can't, if you sit here and you say, Hannah, you look so cute today. Well, it's like my response needs to be, gah, but look at my chin.
Yeah.
Look at this little pooch. Like, yeah. That should be my response. But really, there's a difference between being humble and just being gracious and then just being, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you're just like conceited.
Yeah.
You don't have to be conceited when someone says that to you, but you can be humble and you can be gracious and say, thank you.
Yeah. And I think that's a hard part. A lot of people don't know how to receive those messages today or how to receive the kindness of, wow, you look great today. Mm-hmm. Put a period at the end of that sentence. There doesn't need to be a comeback of, well, yeah, but I'm, you know, and that's where I think the industry, and then enter in social media, you know, and enter in filters and enter in, you know, I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, women that go into plastic surgery's office or even like your offices and go, this filter make me look like this, you know, and then the thing is that then we have this complete disconnect in the world of technology that is, you post a photo, you don't look like that, someone meets you, and then we have all these names, you know, like, you know, catfishing and everything else. Yeah. Rather than just realizing that if it's you, isn't the true thing we need to have a conversation about is what's authentically you?
Yes.
And what is that message? So when you have someone that comes in, how do you handle, you know, I mean, I know how you and I work together, but I mean, how do you handle someone? Because the other thing too is there's a massive level of trust.
Yes.
I mean, to go in and this is your face, you know, this is, wow. I mean, and that's a huge level of trust. How do you handle that?
Well, I think that when someone comes in, I am always reiterating that these are medical treatments. These are serious treatments that you're doing to your face. Like, it seems like not a big deal to throw a little filler in your lips, but when it comes down to how much training we have done and how many arteries and vessels and infection, like all of these things that can happen if you don't have a provider who really truly cares about those things,
right.
People don't understand how serious that is. So I always... Well, one, I always start my conversation with what could you possibly want to enhance? And I think that my husband laughs at me because he's like, Hannah, you could look at a rock and think that rock was beautiful. I could also talk to a rock.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I look at someone's face and there, I can, on every single face, you can pick out something that is just absolutely beautiful that you're drawn to. And so the first thing I always mention to any client is that one thing that really grabs me and grabs my attention. And then I listen. And I listen to what their concerns are. If they don't have a single good thing to talk to themselves about, I know for a fact that is not a treatment day. There's nothing going to happen.
Right.
Now, but if they can tell me some positive things about, oh, I love my eyes, but I wish that my cheeks were a little bigger. Or I love my brows, but, you know, I didn't have any wrinkles there, or I wish that my eyes weren't drawn to the wrinkles because I love this. Like, if that's the case, then we move on, we go, we do our thing, and we move on. But if it's someone who they come in and it's just negative and quite honest, sad, you have empathy for them because I know what it's like to be a girl or a guy. I have guys come too.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a hand-holding session. And like a, let's talk about something first, and then you go home and you think about it. And you start thinking about some more positive things.
Right.
And then come back to see me.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of providers do that. It's just coming from my background, coming from working in family practice, seeing young girls every day telling me these things that are so minuscule and they don't matter.
Right.
But they break their hearts. Like, I'm not going to add on to that. I'm not going to do it. And I have three daughters.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's not a single thing I would change on their face.
No, well, I've gone into your office before and you go, you don't need anything. You don't need to do anything. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. But for me, it was just an aging thing to where, like, you know, we talk about, what are they called? Baptismal bands?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is like, if you don't know about them, you need to look them up because they are not your friend when you get older. And so it was so funny because I'm like, okay, I didn't know about those, you know? So it's like, I get an education, you know, when I come to you, seriously, because it's like, okay, I take care of myself. However, you know, it's like, I want to make sure that, is there something I could do that would make me feel better in that way?
Mm-hmm.
But do I need it? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that more than anything is the message for young girls today, is that we need to make sure that they are getting that message, that this is something that you may want, but it's not necessary or needed in order for you to continue your life. Or, and like you said, the medical part of it, you know, Because, I mean, you are. It is a medical thing, and the face is very complex, mm-hmm. you know, between where the vein, the vessels, the muscles, and all the, you know, the different mm-hmm. intersections are. And
I'm learning every day.
I mean, it's huge, right?
Yes, every day. I just did a training this weekend and learned something new. And every time I go into work and my coworkers are there and they will talk about something, it's something completely new. So it's ever evolving. It's ever changing.
What do you think the top three influences have been over the years on, I know, statistics, on like where the industry has kind of shifted to where you kind of were like, is there a hard line? So what do you think the top three influences are, you know, on young girls or people that are looking younger and younger to be able to do things like this?
Well, beat a dead horse with social media.
Yes.
I think everyone knows that, but we can't get away from it.
No.
That would be number one. I think that this will, like, this urge for girls to appear older than they are, like to feel more mature, and I think that is an influence. It's just from society. Mm-hmm. They want to be women. They want to be looked at as mature adults who have it all together. I think that's something.
But it's a good point. It's a good point.
It's just from comments that I've gotten from people. I want to look older. I want to be taken more seriously. I have my master's degree, and I want someone to listen to me when I go into the office. And that's a fair mm-hmm. point.
That's culture.
But then that's a, yes, then you're yeah. getting into sexism, and you're getting into all of these other topics, which we're not on that.
Yeah.
I think social media, that, and then just people are insecure. We have too much information out there. There's too much dating and not dating, and they just want to be accepted, and they yeah. want, you know, we are thrown these images of people who are beautiful all the time, and we're like, well, shoot, okay, everyone thinks they're beautiful. I want to be beautiful too. So then I get that attention too.
Yeah. Like, well, and I think, just by being, when I was in the fashion industry for years, I mean, photoshopping is a real thing. It's been around forever mm-hmm. and ever and ever. It's not going away in the photographer's world, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, you can't photoshop real life.
No.
And so, I mean, obviously we have a monitor right here. But, you know, I mean, and so I always look at people like that. It's like, you have a photo of yourself, and like when you see the images plastered in magazines, it's like, that's not real anyway. You
have
know?
Have you seen the nerdy, like it's not nerdy, but have you seen that? It's kind of, or it's cheesy, but it's the meme. It's like, do you ever look at a sunset and see how beautiful the sunset is and then take a picture and you're like, well, it didn't look that good in the picture. It's way prettier in real life.
Right.
Literally.
Hello. Yes. Yeah. It is. And even, like, I always say, the women that girls strive to look like, that we have everyday beautiful people walking around that have done nothing because they're trying to get an unattainable image. Because the people that don't even look like that.
No.
You know, I mean, every single thing, and we've seen the stuff all over social media and all the apps, and we've seen the changes and everything and watched it, you know, in real time. But for me, it just comes down to the messaging. And I think I couldn't imagine, and it's because I work with so many of the girls, I couldn't imagine being 16, 17, 18 right now mm-hmm. and having to navigate these messages and misinformation and also the celebrity influence mm-hmm. on a lot of people that, you know, and then they're not truthful, mm-hmm. you know, on what they've done or what is the real thing. And then, and for me, for young women, I hope and pray that they come see someone like you. I do, Hannah, because I think it's important to where you have someone that says the real part of what this is and the real part of, you know, because when you sit with someone and this is an intimate thing that you're having a conversation about, when you sit with them, it should be a space of like, you know, hey, this is an insecurity of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to share that with you. Is there something that you can do, you know, or you can help in that way? But I think your conversation skills, bar none, are higher than most. They are. They're higher than most people because they get in, they look at them, and they think, oh, okay, I can do this, this, and this. And let's face it, we can go into any place and you can look at anything and change it.
100%.
You know? So what do you think sets you apart? Where is your compass that you try to, that kind of keeps you in the middle of what you decide to say and not to say?
Well, I'm a mom. I think that's my compass.
Yeah.
I think that I did not grow up I wasn't a popular child. This is everyone's story. I'm not popular. I was bullied.
Yeah.
It's my favorite story to tell every single patient I see is that I was the ugly Hannah, and this one girl told me that I was the ugly Hannah in my grade, And that stuck with me, actually, bullying did.
That's what I'm saying. You hear it, but everybody else says, you know, all these other great things about you, but you hear that.
And I still hear that to this day. But now being a mom, especially to three daughters, I don't ever want to go home and them think I look different or I have changed my appearance too much where they're like,
is that my mom?
Is that my mom? And then when I look at my, I have so many young girls, and if they see this one day, they're going to know exactly who they are. They're like my little babies.
Yep.
And they message me all the time, and they're my little girls. And some of them's moms live far away, and I'm like, well, I'm your second mom.
Yeah, what a privilege.
Yes. That's my compass. My compass is trying to give people confidence that, like, we don't look totally alike, and that's okay, but that's what makes you interesting and unique. Maybe work on something else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe work on working out. Maybe drink more water. Maybe read more books.
Right.
Build your confidence in that way. And then that shines through. That is what makes someone really, truly beautiful. And everyone will admit that. That we all can say that. We all know that's the truth. But we also want a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to work on the inside and all those things.
That's messy.
It's just literally, I could talk about this all day because there's 800 different reasons,
right.
800 different ways to skin a cat, if you will,
yep.
And to get to the bottom of it. But also, having worked in family practice where I'm prescribing 21, 22, 18-year-olds Lexapro. Mm-hmm. On a regular basis, which I'm not talking down Lexapro or SSRIs in general or any type of anti-anxiety medication because I didn't grow up right.
You know, yeah.
I'm 32 now. Like, I thankfully got past the age of social media and was out of school before it really happened.
Right.
But that breaks your heart when you are giving someone a SSRI just to help them feel good on a day. It helps them wake up in the morning and not feel like shit.
But like what you said a little bit ago when you said you still hear that person's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to me is the biggest thing is that's not your voice. Mm-hmm. Someone else placed it there or put it there. And that's really what I like, that there's voices like yours and Compass voices that are like, hey, you didn't say that to yourself. That shouldn't be part of your self-talk soundtrack.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, somebody else put that in there and then you bought into it. And then the world kind of built the narrative around it. And then now you've got your answer.
And now it's over 15 years later, and I still think about that.
And you still think about it. Right. And I think even like with the industry, you know, what I've seen, I've met numerous people in the industry, you know, that you're in. And I always talk to people about it. And I'm always so fascinated because I have young girls that come in the coaching studio and they'll be like, you know, well, this person or that other bring up people on Instagram or whatever. And I'm just like, you know, I always ask them, do you filter your photos? Yeah. You think they don't? You know, and then it's always the conversation around why. And we've said this before. It's like God made each one of us so unique and so beautiful. And yes, you know, we're not going to always look good at every single day.
No.
And we're not going to feel good. And I always say, you don't have to feel good every day. You just have to feel every day. Mm-hmm. And so if there's something, you know, that you're not 100% about yourself, going down the path of alterations is really meant for clothing at this point. I mean, it really is. It is. But I love the message of what you said a little bit ago, which was super important, which is the injector. So what is the responsibility of the injector? This is strictly your perspective,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, whether it's the industry responsibility, because we know we can't change social media. Like you said, it's not going anywhere. We have to learn to live with it, navigate it. How healthy is the user at that point, the social media user, which mm-hmm. is always an interesting word to me, user. So how healthy are you? And then how healthy is the information you take in? So if someone was, say, 24 years old and they looked in the mirror and they weren't happy about something and they go see someone, at that point, I know how you handle it, but perspective-wise, do you think the industry is getting better, worse, as a whole?
I think it's going to get better.
Okay, good.
I have hope that it's going to get better because I have not been in aesthetics for a super long time. I've been in aesthetics for a couple of years. And I think the height of COVID, it was so much of a focus on, like, altering the face and getting mm-hmm. big lips and snatching our jawlines and doing all of these things. And I see it, and I when I post things about, like, how I want to not post filtered photos and how to tell patients no. I get such a good response from injectors. I have no idea who they are, or I've never met them.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't know who they are. It's just I've never met them in real life. And they're like, I have felt this inner turmoil. It's so nice to see that other people are telling patients no. Because mm-hmm. it's also a money and money thing.
Right.
You know, you can make very good money in aesthetics.
Yes.
But my boss has made such a good point. She's like, it's not about the money. Like, yes, that is an added benefit. Like,
yeah, it's a business.
It is a business. And we are trying to support our families. I had three kids in school. Like, I am trying to do those things. But if I think it's going to get better. I just have so much faith that the people who maybe they're not the biggest social media influencer out there, they don't have 100,000 followers, but if they can get on there without a filter on their mm-hmm. face and go, hey, we're doing a Botox special. You may not need it, but we're doing it. We can come in, we can talk about it,
right,
and leave it open-ended. I think it's going to be there. Maybe I shouldn't say Botox. Botox is for all of them.
Yeah. No, well, I think it's anything that you inject in to alter your face
yes.
at 100%. I think it's a big, important thing because I think people are looking at it like the next designer bag. It's like, I have to go buy this for myself.
Yes.
And this is an accessory. And, you know, it becomes like part of your vitamin regimen.
Yes.
And it really shouldn't. It's really, in my opinion, it really shouldn't be thought of that way. Because like you said earlier, it is a procedure,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it needs to be taken considerably. How many people do you see that would come in and have had like really bad experiences?
Bad experiences or bad work?
Either.
So bad experiences wise, a lot.
Okay.
Where it's more just, I'm a talker. I've always been a talker. And so when I see a new patient, I like to do my full consult and then see them back a different day. I like to talk about their goals. I like to talk about the risks and benefits and contraindications to every procedure. And sometimes I get text messages from girlfriends who are asking about a friend who just got their lips done and they weren't told anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes people who've had injectables before are seeking out a new provider because the last provider didn't listen to them. They maybe didn't listen to them in the beginning and then they realize, well, this is, you know, I can just keep doing what I'm doing. And they didn't continue to alter their plan of care as they aged or as time went on.
Right.
It was all, and so a lot. I mean, I wouldn't say it's over 50% because I do see a lot of new clients who are younger and we're 30-year-olds. I see a lot of people my age who are just now for the first time getting stuff done. And and that's a huge responsibility then for me to make it a good experience too.
Right, right, right.
And
you take it seriously.
Very much.
What about, is it easy, and this is probably not the right word, is it possible that if someone has bad work or incorrect work or over whatever, is it possible to recorrect that?
I think we're limited.
Okay.
We do have things in the office that can, quote unquote, dissolve filler. And they are not FDA approved for that, but that's what every injector uses them for, is to dissolve filler. When it comes to, like, bad Botox or whatever, it wears off after 3 months. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But it sucks. It sucks when it happens. It sucks when you get a dropped brow or whatever. There are ways to correct it. To an extent, but also patients have to understand, I've been seeing some patients who've been seeing other providers for 10 plus years. I can't correct 10 plus years of
bad work,
cumulative work.
Yeah.
That maybe wasn't bad in the first place. Maybe it was beautiful and then it migrated over time, or it was potentially placed in the wrong plane, but at the beginning it looked really great or something like that. So it also takes a lot of time and you can't quick fix everything.
Yeah, it does. Well, I think that's the other thing too, is like when you say migrate, you know what I mean? That's an interesting word for me. And I started doing some research before we got together, just like that is possibility that you can have filler put in and it can be done and then something changes and then all of a sudden it moves.
Yep.
To a different, and it doesn't look like it was supposed to look.
It's not your tissue. It's not something, God did not put that in there and connect it to it. You're putting it in yourself.
Right.
So also, you know, aesthetic techniques are changing over time. I think that it's going to be very interesting over the next year as that stuff kind of comes out. I know this isn't like an injectables podcast, but there's going to be a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
I've had filler dissolved above my lips before. It was placed, you know, up above my lip. It's been dissolved now. I have filler in my temple. I didn't have filler in my temple. I've never had any filler put in my temple. So, again, it can migrate. And it can be the perfect storm. It can never happen.
Right.
So again, with the, this is how serious these procedures are. Do you really want to do this? And at what age do you start doing this?
What is the age that, like, do you need a parent's consent? Do you, how does that work?
If you are younger than 18, yes, you would need a parent's consent. If you're an adult, if you're technically an adult, you can do whatever you
18
like.
18 is not an adult. Just kidding. There's no 18-year-old on their own today. Let's just say that.
Well, at 18, you still look like a baby.
Exactly. Well, that's the one thing I said before. So my daughters are 23 and 19, and I look at their face, and it's like, you know, yes, they're still have the little baby fat, and they have, like, these beautiful structures, and and it's like, you know, but I see them looking at different things, too, and going, hey, and then we always have these great conversations, but one thing I can say that I've been very intentional about is I've never, and I can unequivocally say this, I've never said a negative thing about myself, my body, whatever. I've been very intentional with having my two girls because it's not necessarily what they feel, it's what they hear in the home.
Yes.
And I coach young women on this that had a mom that was so negative and so detrimental on herself, and then she wants to know why her child is the same. Mm-hmm. Well, it's through osmosis. Mm-hmm. And so I was very intentional about everything was in the gym and healthy food and healthy skincare mm-hmm. and all these kinds of things because I saw the end result of it. And so I think that's the thing, too, is like you said, you have three girls, which are kind of like your moral compass at this point, right?
Mm, yeah.
So if someone comes in, so if they're 18 legally, they can do it.
Yes.
Right? But you guys.
But then we also have a conversation.
Right,
and
right.
And it's, you know, you come in and you want bigger lips. Okay, that's fair. Do you want a bigger lip when you're smiling or at rest? Well, I just want my lips to look bigger in pictures. Okay, well, instead of putting filler in your face, let's do like a couple units of Botox.
Yeah.
It's $50. It doesn't last forever.
Right.
And then you can see if you even like that. So I offer a lot of options. Like
nice.
Aesthetics is not like, aesthetics is multiple modalities. It is good skincare. It is this, that, the other. A lot of times when young girls come in, it's just because they have acne everywhere. And you just let's get you on some skin.
Yeah.
Let's get some good skincare going. I didn't have skin like this when I was 18.
Right.
I have skin like this now because
you've done the work.
I have been on a medical grade skincare regimen since I was 27.
Right.
Since I started my process.
But it's true though. It's true. A lot of it's not the structure of the face. It's the condition of the skin.
The canvas. But you make a good point where it starts in the home. And my daughters, we have a scale in our house, which I don't want the scale, but I've been conditioned. I'm on the scale. My kid still thinks it shows how tall you are.
Good. Let him think that.
I try to never step on it around them. But I had to, when I was counting my macros, I had to use the scale. But now if they catch me on it, which is very rare.
How tall are you, mommy?
It's how tall are you, mommy? And I'm like, wow, this many talls? And they're like, okay, well, how tall am I? And they'll get so excited and so pumped. And then my daughters also see that during COVID, when you couldn't go to the gym, my husband and I put together a makeshift gym in our garage. And so they each have their own little 2-pound weights in the garage, and they come out and they do a workout with us.
It.
And that's what they see. Like, and my parents are the best. They're my best buddies. But my parents didn't do that growing up. My mom was on the scale all the time. And so I will say this again. My parents are my best friends. I miss them dearly every day because they don't live close. But that's something I don't want to do because I remember that.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about parenting, too. It's like we get to take away what we want to take away and then redirect as we need to redirect. Because that's the thing is you can't parent from the way they parented you anyway today.
No.
You know, that's the other part of it.
They learned things
totally
from their
different.
Parents that they didn't
and the conversation. And, you know, it's funny when you said something about, like, bigger lips, which is, in my opinion, a trend.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of like bell-bottom pants. It's kind of like skinny jeans. It's like it's a trend.
Yes.
It's like I see it. You know, I'm older than you, but I see it as this is so bad. But I see it like trends in plastic surgery and trends in skincare and trends. It's not the same as fashion, guys. You can't just buy it and return it.
Mm.
I mean, the BBLs that are out there right now. I mean,
they're gonna go away.
So that's my point. It's like it's a trend, but should it be? Shouldn't it be a conversation around, you know, so much deeper than what it is? And do you think the industry, and this is a complete judgment on my part, so please forgive me, but do you think the industry has done a good enough job of educating the injector on how to handle that conversation?
Well, that's a cup of tea that you could really get into. I think it's hard because aesthetics isn't as Like, there's not a lot of, what's the word I want to use? You can kind of just become an injector.
Okay.
But then you have different providers who've taken you have to be at least an RN in the state of Arizona to become an injector.
Okay.
But, you know, when I moved to Arizona and started my process, I took a course and then I also did an apprenticeship and then also do trainings regularly throughout the year and I read up on it. But then I also have real world knowledge of how to talk to people.
Right.
So I don't think there's any extra in terms of how to speak with people. I've learned that on my own.
Right.
Just after years and years and years and years of working directly with people, and that's all that I do.
Yeah, the interpersonal part was in, I think it's in nature for you. Yes.
And so, I mean, you can have the best doctor out there who's going to save your damn life, and he has shitty bedside manner.
Yeah.
So, but I'll take the shitty bedside manner.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's going to save my life.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
So I think that as injectors, we have to constantly and not be getting our research from Instagram, which while Instagram and TikTok are so easy to get on and just like watch different techniques.
Yeah.
We have to read books and we have to
read books. There's the biology of it and the physiology of it.
Yes, we have to do all of these things. And so I read the most random books, but I read self-help books from people in the Holocaust. I read all of these things and I don't agree with everyone's thoughts. I will read far left and far right, and
yep.
I could not agree with either of them, but if I'm learning something mm-hmm. about communication and all of that, that's, then I take that into my
Well, we've
my
forgotten
world.
To look for the nuggets. I think that's
yes,
the biggest
pearls.
Thing. Yeah, yeah,
all of those
yes,
little pearls.
Yes.
I learned that talking to patients every day, and they'll leave a room, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have approached them differently, and then I can take that to my next visit.
Right, right.
But you also have to be self-aware.
Yeah. Well, and I think in an industry that is dealing with people's, you know, outside, you're going to have to make sure you deal with the inside too. There's no way of getting around it.
No.
And that's why I asked you the question on the industry part of it. It's like I look at every modality that deals with humans, you know, human nature, you know, whether it's therapy, counseling, psychiatry, I mean, vision, nutrition, whatever it is, everything deals with the health of a person on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that there is, and this is completely my declaration statement, so deal with it. I truly do believe that every single industry or person that deals with the human society as a whole has a responsibility to have a conscience and to have some sort of a moral compass
mm-hmm.
and to understand that that is your responsibility and privilege for working
yes,
with people.
It's a privilege.
You're not just throwing nails in a board, you know, and even then I can go down that rabbit hole. You're building someone's home. You know, there's always that lack of integrity or character based upon an industry that can be so frivolous mm-hmm. and so carefree what you perceive. And it's mm-hmm. a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that more than anything is why I wanted to have this conversation is because, you know, for a young girl to look at someone like yourself that you're, you know, this is what you do for a living and you can make everything better. You know, no, you can, but mm-hmm. I can help you and guide you by what I know mm-hmm. and the information that I know of making sure, you know, and I think everyone is a, everyone is a canvas, like you said. I mean,
mm-hmm.
someone else that have maybe been through, you know, either accidents or been through something horrific and maybe they need the industry
yes.
as a whole 100%. Someone else maybe just isn't happy with, and then some of us that are getting older, we want to make sure, oh, by the way, you know, I want my eyebrows even, you know, let's just say that much, you know. So there's things like that, right? So there's things I think that are, you know, that can be taken that way. So last question, what do you see in the next 5 years within your industry that you would want to some way, shape, or form have an influence of change or creation or direction?
I think influence in turn, I would like to just influence the more like building people up. And I think that we do that, but just continuing to build people up and when they come into the office, continue to give them all these options because maybe there's nothing I can do and maybe I need to send you somewhere else.
Right.
But giving people a lot of options and also sometimes just empowering them. I think that that's a big hot keyword phrase of the 2020
that's
to now.
So last year.
Empowered. but true, like I just hope that we can continue to do that. And then educate our patients.
It's a big one.
Educate them on everything we're doing and they will keep coming back. People are not going to stop spending money on their faces.
No.
So I am in no way an advocate for like no aesthetic procedures. Don't do it. Don't waste your money. Don't get. Clearly, I like like.
Well,
my
too.
Cheeks are done.
Me too. Absolutely. I have stuff on my lips. Yeah.
But if we can continue to educate people and just. I mean, I put a lot of energy into the relationships that I've built with my patients. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I am always available.
Absolutely.
For the most part. And so just be good humans and be people who
gosh darn
care
it.
For them, like care for our patients. Like we care for our own people.
Yeah.
And I hope that aesthetics continues to go that way. And I think it will. I have a lot of hope. I like to think I'm a glass half full kind of person. And I think if we can continue to go that way, we can influence a lot more people to
not over-treat and not oversell and overfill.
Yeah. No, it's true. And as always, you guys, thank you so much for listening. And more importantly, you know the reason why I do this podcast is to inspire you all to go out and create your own ripple effect of change in whatever industry you're in. Hannah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I hope that all sounded good.
No, it's so good. And honestly, you know, any comments, like, subscribe. If you have questions for Hannah, I'm going to put her all of her information in the show notes, whatever information she wants me to put in the show notes.
She's not my social security.
No, we won't do that. But anything that comes up, please, we can't wait to hear from you guys because we really do want to have a better conversation around this and understand that we're basically not calling anyone out. We're calling them to action. We're calling them to create these changes to make this better for every single one. Injectors and, you know, patients, the industry, the businesses behind it, every single one has an influence and has some sort of a responsibility. So thank you for listening, and I cannot wait to see you guys next time. Thank you for joining us today on the TLM Method podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed the time that you've spent with us. And more importantly, I hope that we make you think. For more information about what we do, our work, and our message, please visit us at our website at officiallytracymartin.com. And that Tracy is T-R-A-C-E-Y. Or you can find us on Instagram at officiallytracymartin. We look forward to having you with us for more episodes of the TLM Method podcast.